Welcome to the Really Bad Mental Health Podcast, Season 2, Episode 28. Oh my God, here we are. It's been
back.
A while.
It's been a long time.
There's a song about that.
It's been a while.
I didn't know that song.
Didn't you?
No. Oh,
so this was, we got to tell, but so this was a voice note where we were saying, God, we got to get together.
Yeah.
And it's been a while.
It's been a while. It's Stained with a band. It was a Kerrang TV classic in the early 2000s.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah,
and
no,
half said on the voice note, half said, they did another one, but I looked for the other one and I couldn't find it. They've done a lot of songs, but I didn't know any of them.
Yeah.
But after you
outside.
Said that, I did. Yeah, it was.
Yeah,
I did actually listen to "It's Been a While" by Stained on the way to work, and then looked at their hits
their
and,
back
didn't, and didn't. But I remember seeing "Outside" on it.
Yeah, "Outside"
so
the one. Yeah.
So anyway, welcome to the Really Bad Mental Health Podcast. It's just three friends chatting everything to do with mental health. Lise,
hello. Half,
how are you guys? It's been a while.
It's been a while.
It's been a while.
I'm a little bit broken this week. I don't know. If
this
you know,
week? Well, we haven't seen each other, you know, technically in the
technically,
pod forum
no,
for about a month.
About
since
a month.
The 9th of February.
9th of February.
And it's the 17th
yeah,
of
so I was
April.
All on high then,
jeez.
Wasn't I? Because I come back from holiday.
Oh, yes.
The last time I've come back from New York.
Yeah.
This weekend, I've come back from Snowdon.
Oh, she's
not
done
quite
it again.
The same.
She's only done it again.
Been and done it again. And in worse,
without us. Me and
worse conditions.
Go. Was it?
I mean, I thought it was bad when we went and did it. This was another level of bad.
Was it?
Yeah. Horrendous. But I did it. I got up there.
Well done.
I was very wet. Worried about trench foot because I discovered that I found this out today. Gore-Tex trainers, trail trainers, although they're waterproof, if you get water in Gore-Tex, you can't get water out of Gore-Tex. So it stays in your trainers,
well,
which
yeah,
is why my feet
it's, it's only waterproof like through
one
it,
way,
isn't it?
Yeah.
If you fill it up,
so that's,
then the water
I couldn't work
come
out where my feet were so wet. I thought, oh, it's just because we're walking like through puddles, streams, whatever. But no, apparently that's the thing. It doesn't. So it gets in, but it can't get out.
But I think trench foot, you need like repeated, you know, I don't think, you know, if you went in the trenches and you got it in a day, I don't think that's a
no,
thing.
No, I don't
least,
think you in like 6 hours, but you know.
Were, if you were up on Snowdon with wet feet for a month, then yeah, I think
okay,
trench
that's
foot
one
would,
thing to
yeah,
not
yeah.
worry about
so,
then.
I'm glad you haven't got trench
I'm glad
foot. But you did roll your ankle.
I did roll my ankle coming down. It was, yeah, but I think it's all right.
Excellent.
Yeah, it was an experience.
Well done. That could lead us on. We'll come to you in a minute, Harv, but that leads us on to what are we doing on the 14th of June?
We are.
Yes.
It's is it the 14th of June?
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
The last, the final peak of the puzzle.
Final peak of the puzzle.
It's our three peaks challenge over 3 years. Some people choose to do that in 24 hours. But
not
we're
me.
Taking,
but you know
we're
what?
Taking 3 years.
You don't have to.
No, you really don't. You really don't. And we've done it. So we did Snowdon, then we did Scafo last year. This year we're doing Ben Nevis. So on the 14th, we're hiring a car so the three of us can share the drive-in.
Mm-hmm.
We're shooting up there on the Friday, walking it the Friday night. Then we've got the loveliest hostel.
Accommodation.
It looks lovely.
Yeah. We won't say the name in case they're listening.
Yeah.
Bound to be.
I mean, if we tag them, they might let us stay for free.
And then we're going to drive back the next day. We're hiring from Dorset Vehicle Rentals in Gillingham, so I'm hoping they're going to knock a load of money off for this because we're advertising
them. They might as
well
just give us a vehicle, aren't they?
Yeah, well, without a doubt.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're doing that, which is going to be super exciting.
I'm a bit scared about Ben Nevis.
I can't believe you're scared.
I feel like Ben Nevis is more of a mountain than the others.
Well, I mean, technically, all three are
mountains. They are all mountains.
Yeah, I know. But I feel like it's a bit more of like a.
It's a bit pointier, isn't it?
It's a bigger one, isn't it?
Yeah, a bigger one.
A bigger one.
But it's not. It's not Everest Base Camp. You know,
no.
We're not going there.
No.
So yes, that'd be fun.
Yes. So we're doing
that. Be great. Can't wait.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
How are you, Harv?
I'm very good. I'm quite tired. Nearly dozed off on the way up here. Didn't enjoy that part of the drive.
He's had a coffee, so you feel
better.
I've
had a very, very strong coffee before we started this.
Maybe you should have a biscuit. Get your sugars out.
No, I'm off the biscuits.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Did you not see his abs in the photo the other day?
But let's not talk about that.
Okay.
Of a middle-aged man posting shirtless pictures in it.
I know. I was the one who did it.
Yeah, yeah.
I was
I'm
like,
not saying I'm not unimpressed
out,
by it, but I'm like,
check out the abs.
Really?
Well, hang on.
No.
I didn't take a photo of myself.
Oh no, no. I'm talking about the one of you taking photos of yourself in the mirror.
Oh yeah,
in the gym.
Yeah, yeah, no. This is the warmest. The CrossFit
one.
Oh, the warmest one.
I was like, check out the abs.
Yeah, he's a good nick, isn't he, that boy?
Yeah, but you know, you've seen more than you need to see in photos and in the flesh recently. So
really, what me?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't see it. I was stood next to you.
Oh, fair enough. Yeah.
Yeah. Do we need to elaborate on that story?
No, we told it in the last one.
Did we?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I relived it earlier when I was catching up.
No, I didn't see it because I was stood next to you, luckily. It was my wife who got the eye full.
She got the eye full. Well, I'm glad you said full.
Yeah, she's never going to forget that. I told you, mate. Honestly, it was a cold day.
Wallpaper, though,
it was a cold day, and you know, I saw the photo evidence. Yeah, you're doing all right.
Anyway, apart from that, I can't believe we're already back on that. I'm feeling a bit tired. Generally, I'm in a good place.
Excellent. That's good to hear.
And what about you?
I'm injury free, which I know
that
is unheard
a good place.
Of. It is unheard of. So things are good. Yeah. I'm training well, enjoying life. There's a lot going on, but there always is, isn't there? It's never an easy ride. But yeah, things are good. Things are really good. So yeah, happy days.
Good.
Yeah. So what's been going down, Lise? What's been happening?
Well, would you like a charity update?
Well, I mean, I'll tell you what, because we don't meet as much as we need to. Oh, excuse me. Siri's just
Siri's joining us for a special guest.
What's going down? Thanks, Siri. Because we haven't seen each other for a while, there is a lot of updates. So we're going to have to rinse through these, otherwise this is a two-hour podcast.
Okay, so we had Matthew Gassman, who works for Wessex. Is he electricals or is he France Cree?
I don't know, but he definitely works for Wessex.
Anyway, works for Wessex Group, who we're a nominated charity of, aren't we? He did the Manchester Marathon weekend just gone.
Yeah.
In a pretty fast
time.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
I spoke to him before and he said, I'm hoping to do it in under 4 hours, but I just want to finish.
Smashed it.
Yeah. 3 hours, 48. And he raised £1,150.
Thank you, Matt. That is amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
He works, so you might know this, Lise, he works on the top floor.
Fire and security.
There you go.
Yeah. And I know that because when we were there, he came down the stairs. So he's foreign security. Okay.
There is
not
two floors, though. You could have come down any.
No, that is just.
But we are Wessex Charity of the Year, which is how he got in touch with us, wasn't it? And did you see the video of him on Instagram where it's him crossing the line wearing his Barco t-shirt?
Yeah.
It was a fantastic one. Yeah. So big thanks to Matt Gassman. Yeah. Thank you.
And then Leon and me and Layla, we're all doing the same challenge, not quite as far as Leon. Leon's doing 100K. We're doing 75.
Unbelievable.
And Leon's running it. I keep seeing him out running and I'm like, oh.
So I spoke to him, must have been just before the weekend, and he said, I've got my final long run tomorrow. It's 37 miles.
Yeah.
So he ran from the other side of Salisbury back to Shaftesbury. It's unbelievable, isn't it?
That is. So he's hoping to run as much of it as possible, isn't he? 100K.
And he said the first 31 miles was pretty easy. So it was the last six that was a killer. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. So Mrs. Squidge.
Mrs. Squidge.
75K. How's the training going?
It's going. It's all right. We've got a couple of long walks planned in. We've got one next Friday.
Excellent.
We've got one the following Monday where we're going to do the Oxdrove.
You've been smashing the stepper as well. I've been on the Stairmaster.
The Stairmaster is my new best friend.
Lisa's always on the Stairmaster. You go to that gym anytime, you know who'll be on the Stairmaster.
I'm always on it. Because I kind of feel like that's the equivalent of going up some hills.
Well, it is, really.
It is up, yeah.
Well, when we've done Snowdon and that, it is like walking upstairs for 2 hours, isn't it?
Yeah. So I'm hoping that will transfer on
the day.
That's my plan. So that's that. We've got Neil Mackrell, who's running the London Marathon.
It's Mackrell.
Mackrell, sorry.
Yeah. No, don't worry.
It's spelled Mackrell, isn't it?
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, it's not spelled Mackrell. No, it's spelled Mackrell.
Mackrell. Okay.
It's double L.
There's no E in the middle either.
Sorry, Neil.
Yeah. He's running the London Marathon this weekend.
Yes, he is. It's a big weekend for a lot of people. Yeah. There's thousands of people running London.
I'm in London this weekend.
He's got the big Barco flag, so I'm hoping we get to see that on.
We pick that up
on TV.
I wonder.
I love watching the London Marathon.
So when I've done London once. When you come around the last corner, my wife was stood right on the corner and she shouted. It was fantastic. If his loved ones could get to that corner, and he could run over the line with the flag. I don't know whether they'd let him, but this will be released after that anyway. So he'll have already done that.
Yeah, well, well done on that.
Well done on completing the London Marathon. We've got Amy Toogood. She's running the Bristol Half Marathon the 19th of May.
Crazy Amy. Well done.
Badco.
That's amazing.
You guys picked up a cheque from Shaftesbury Carnival for £600.
Did we talk about this on the podcast?
Yeah, we picked up the cones.
Yeah, the cones. And we're going to get high vises next time.
Oh, yeah, because I don't want to get run over.
No, we nearly did. The jeopardy of not being run over. But it was worth that £600. That's paid. Our near-death experience has paid for two people to go through early intervention life-saving counselling.
Well,
so that's a pretty good thing.
Thanks for doing that, risking lives. So yeah, and then you've teamed up with Sprigster Drinks,
who
I hadn't heard of before this. I'll be honest.
No,
I
so this is the guys down at the Pit House, which is in a little village called Semley, just outside of Shaftesbury. They brew their own. Harv, you'll be able to talk to this better because you're into that sort of thing.
What, drinks?
Yeah, you drink stuff there.
Yeah, I drink stuff. Yeah. Famously, just had a coffee. They are, it's their sort of non-alcoholic botanical. It's like grown-up soft drinks. It's grown-up soft drinks. And they've released theirs. And I think this Alcohol Awareness Month at the moment, isn't it?
It is, this month.
So we are going to receive 10% of profits on those drinks sold. So that is amazing. And it's really, really cool. It's great to have that little partnership. I didn't get to try them, Mr. Collins, because I was ill on the day. But you've been down there, had a taster.
Yeah, I'd say floral.
Floral.
Yeah, very nice. Very nice indeed. We tried, they do two different ones. They do one like a gin that you put with a tonic, or they do one like a Prosecco. And we had the Prosecco type one. And we felt very posh down there. It's very nice.
Yes.
And there's going to be some other things coming from the team down there. They want to support us more and more and more as we go forward. So watch this space for anything that happens with the Pit House guys.
Cool.
If anyone wants to go out for a superb lunch, get yourself down there.
Yeah, it does look nice. I've never been.
Oh, me and Office Lady went down there for lunch on her birthday once, and it was very nice indeed.
Shout out to Pit House.
Shout out to Office Lady's birthday.
Shout out to that as well.
And you're another nominated charity for a local company, Farmfield and Nichols Solicitors.
How many people support us and the things they do? It's crazy, isn't it?
It's brilliant. Farmfield are having a golf day for us in a couple of weeks' time, actually. I think it's on the Friday, the 3rd of May. We had a meeting with them yesterday. They've sold out of teams, so it's a fully booked schedule. I think there's 25 teams going around.
Music to my ears that they've sold out, because it means that I don't have to try and play golf.
We've got a raffle ticket selling. Sorry, Lise. I know we've got a resident raffleer in the house.
Oh, my God. Lise nearly
is
went
someone
for
taking
harder.
Over my job?
Just move those sharp knives out of the way. Move those scissors there.
We're doing the raffle on this occasion. I mean, we're just selling the tickets. We haven't organised the prizes or anything, okay?
That's right. You could share my role.
So they're doing a very big raffle and a silent auction from which the proceeds come to the Brave and Determined charity. So, we're absolutely delighted and honoured to be involved in that.
Fantastic.
Thank you to Julian and the team at Farmfield.
From the sound of it, it's going to be quite a heavy drinking day. And for two people who don't drink, it's going to be quite an experience.
Or play golf.
Yes. So we'll see how that goes down. But it's going to be fun nonetheless, isn't it?
Oh, it'll be brilliant.
Yeah.
It'll be
brilliant. So we're looking forward to that.
I don't know if you guys are going to this either, but there's a Back to the 90s disco that someone's doing it's Claire in Tisbury.
Yes.
On the June the 8th, £10 a ticket.
Love the 90s.
Who doesn't love the 90s disco?
Yeah.
The 90s was the greatest decade. I know it's a controversial thing to say this because there's somebody here that's going to shout about the 80s, but...
Oh, the 90s were the best.
The 90s were the best. The world was a good place in the 90s.
The 90s was awesome. No mobile phones.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oasis were just the top.
Baggy jeans.
Yeah.
Spliffy jeans.
Yeah.
Spliffy jeans.
I used to go to Salisbury.
Poppers.
Yeah. I used to go to Salisbury on the train and buy spliffy jeans.
Jacaranda.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Anyway,
we're
digressing.
Anyway, so it's funny you're talking about that because a mate of mine, we're talking about doing a roller disco for Brave and Determined. And this will be in Tisbury as well.
He
bought a set of what are now called inlines. You would know them as rollerblades.
Yeah.
And he texted me a picture of them. And I texted him back a picture of mine, which I bought in 1995 in Salisbury from, I've got to be careful.
Oh, yes, I know what you're going to say.
From Cunning Stunts. Do you remember it? It was in the little there was the shopping precinct where TK Maxx is, and it was that shop on the right. I bought a pair of Bauer inlines from there. I've still got them.
Bauers might be in the loft.
Have you got quads though, or inlines?
Yeah. I know this isn't a Salisbury reminiscent podcast, but getting off the train, walking down that road, going into Cunning Stunts. And then just further up from that, there was Standout Records.
Standout Records,
I used to spend hours in there. God.
Those were the days.
Yeah. I got some stories to tell you, but not on the podcast. Let's move on. Salisbury, man. Salisbury is the place to go. Anyway.
Moving on. We've got some fitness classes starting.
Now, this is a game changer. Absolute game changer. And I'm hoping you guys will be able to be there.
I think so.
You've got 25th
of May. I thought it was the 25th of March.
Well, that's gone.
That's gone because we're in April.
So it's not that. I'm just checking. No, it is May.
Yeah,
you're right.
25th of May. So they start down at Riversmeet in Gillingham.
Yeah.
A lovely
Nick free.
Are they free?
So it's free and it's open to anyone who would like to come down and train with like-minded people.
Wow.
So it's 8 to 8.45, I believe.
Yeah.
Riversmeet in Gillingham, and it's a free class. So
nice.
We're going to start advertising that. How nice is that? And this is off the back of the Brave and Determined. So it's not just for people who have been referred by us or, you know, we're seeking help. It's a free class to come and train with like-minded people and just and hang out and, you know, get
and
some coffee.
And we all
afterwards.
Know how good training is for your mental health.
So, oh, absolutely. Yeah.
So I'm hoping that a few of us can go down there and do that.
So
and
Nicola Pike, isn't that?
Nicola Pike's done that. Who's been a supporter of the Brave and Determined from the start. And we know her from CrossFit Days, which was cool.
And I do her class on Wednesday. And it's a good class on Wednesday.
We were only talking about, like, how exercise brought us together as a trio of people, wouldn't it? And if it wasn't for exercise, the three of us would probably not be friends.
How sad that would be.
Yeah, because it's
I would miss you if you weren't in my life.
Well, it's like, it's
but
funny.
If we weren't ever friends,
we wouldn't know.
We would miss us.
Well, that's true, but almost heartbreaking heart.
Let's move on.
Big news.
Well, this surprised everyone,
yeah,
I think.
This is
so
nuts.
So, you guys have planned the next Brave and Determined Late Summer Ball.
Yes. Yeah.
Tickets went on sale on the 1st of April.
Yes.
And they sold out.
By the 7th
of April.
Unbelievable.
It's just crazy. It's a mixed... I've got mixed emotions over that. I'm absolutely delighted that we sold out so quickly. And thank you to everybody that bought up. But I'm gutted for the people that are missing out. Because I know there's a few of them.
I said to a few people, don't worry. They won't sell out
Mr.
that
Squidge
quickly.
Mr. Squidge ticket.
No. And I said, don't worry. They'll be able to... They'll probably hold some back. And then you guys were like, no, we can't. That's the limit.
We've literally hit the limit. We even asked them if they could go three over the capacity. And they said, no, that is the hard stop. Sorry. Yeah. We're not even eating.
Mm.
We're not having dinner. So Harv and I...
Forgoing our meals to accommodate others.
Yeah, because more people wanted to be there. We haven't told them this yet.
No.
But we're basically going to have a staging area where we don't eat because we've sold those tickets.
I mean, I will eat.
Don't get me wrong. I don't mind giving up my meal.
We just won't eat with the people, you know.
Yeah.
We're going to have a sandwich with the staff.
Yeah. Sandwich.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's exciting. Is it the Brush and Broom this year? New location?
Yeah. But we just have a sandwich. But what we are going to try and do, and we've got to speak to him, and I think we're going end of this month, aren't we? What we're hoping to do, and this isn't...
Don't get carried away.
This isn't done, but we're hoping that we can get some like later tickets. So ask people to come for the auction, raffle, disco.
Okay, not do the meal.
But we've got to see on capacity and stuff like that. Yeah. So it's not done, but watch this space. There's an opportunity.
We're working hard on it.
Yeah.
But we are humbled and delighted, amazed that it's sold out.
I said on the stories the other day, we've got good news and bad news. The good news is we've sold out. The bad news is we've sold out.
Yeah.
You know, because I couldn't believe that we sold out so quick.
That's amazing, isn't it?
And it's sad that people who were there last year who want to support, and I've been like, not inundated with messages, but lots of people have got in touch and said, guys, where's the link? I'm trying to buy tickets. And you're like, yeah, sorry, we sold out.
Yeah.
But it just means we need to go even bigger in 2025.
True.
You know, we need to double the size, really, don't we? But anyway.
It's a great problem to have.
Fantastic problem to have. So it's a good night. So if you come in, great. If you're not, I'm really sorry.
Yeah.
You've got a seat. You're in.
There'll be lots of posts about it, I'm sure.
Yeah, there will.
And the biggest bit of news, which I don't think had happened at it last time.
I don't know.
I don't know what you're going to say. You hit 100 people.
Yeah, we hit 100 people.
Yeah, we hadn't hit
100. It's not you, Lise, it's we.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We hit 100 people.
Well, last time we recorded a pod, we were at 96, 97, I think.
Yeah.
Wow. So, and we're now at 112.
You're 112, yeah.
God, things are moving, man. Yeah, things are moving.
That is insane. It's incredible.
And we launched a hoodie to celebrate the 100 hoodie.
When we turned up at HQ tonight, and I hope this person's listening,
I pulled in the
car park and thought, that's one of our 100 hoodies. And I went over and said hello and know the person who was wearing it. It was a really, really humbling moment for me. It was good, really good.
Yeah.
And the other thing that we discovered just before we came in here is the charity is a year old now.
Yeah.
We've literally just
Happy birthday.
Clicked a year old.
Happy birthday.
So in a year. So I was looking back, or did I think about looking back?
That feels like a really deep question.
Did I look back or did I think about it?
Are you looking back at thinking about looking back now?
Well, I think what I thought was
stay with us.
What? How many were we through at the Summer Ball last year? So the 15th of July.
It was nearly 50-ish, wasn't it?
And I'm thinking we're going to be going to the Summer Ball.
We'll soon be at 50. We're hoping by the end of this week we'll be at 50. Yeah, I'm sure in your speech you said that.
Late 40s on the numbers.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. So you think where we are now?
It's incredible. Amazing. And yeah, thank you for your support to everybody. Everybody that buys, raises, talks about us, yeah, follows us. Big
amazing. And we've had some more people reaching out recently asking us to do things, which, we always say yes to.
Yep.
There might be some exciting news out of Friday, but I'm not going to talk about it. It's going to click in a minute. Where are you going Friday?
Oh,
yes!
Yeah!
Yeah! He's just thought about it.
Yeah, I've already decided that's happening.
That is happening. That's happening. OL is super excited.
Yeah. Do I need to be excited?
You will be. Well,
no, she won't.
Well, you'd be excited for us.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We'd love to tell you off air.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
But you won't. You won't like it.
Oh, does it involve olives?
No.
What's wrong with olives?
I don't like olives.
She don't like an olive.
Don't rattle my olive cage.
It's something else you don't like. But anyway, move on. Okay. Don't guess.
Okay.
Right. Where are we? What are we doing?
Pork.
That's it.
Pork. I'm just referring to a conversation we had earlier.
She doesn't like pork either. It's her least favourite roast.
Yeah, pork is my least favourite.
Or lamb, you said, didn't you?
Lamb would be least favourite.
Oh, no.
Pork would be near.
I love a bit of lamb.
Yeah. Chicken would be at top. Chicken and turkey.
I mean, don't get me wrong, I love chicken. But
chicken. If I was at a Carvery, they didn't really do chicken at Carvery, do they? So it would be turkey and beef. But beef's always a bit rare at Carvery. So yeah, chicken, turkey,
but you're
turkey,
at Carvery,
beef.
That's where you're going wrong.
I never have a Carvery.
Oh, yeah. You have to have a Carvery. I can't cook for myself.
No, but
doing a roast on your own is...
Yeah, my wife makes a good roast. My in-laws make a good roast. My mother makes a good roast. Home-cooked roast.
Yeah. Do you make a good roast?
Oh, yeah, my mum used to do a lovely roast.
I don't know if I can make a good roast.
Yeah. I definitely can't make a good roast. I could do an omelette.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I could do
a Carvery omelette.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that'd take off, but
no.
Yeah. So yeah.
Anyway,
there you go. I think we should move on.
Yes.
You know, let's seamlessly go into.
No one needs to know what food I like and don't like.
So for the people who don't know, which I'm sure you all do, because we are on season 2, episode 28.
That's a lot of episodes.
Our mission is to provide everyone, regardless of their situation, early intervention, life-saving counselling, and that is everyone. We're not just men, because we get a lot of people thinking we are just men. But we're not, because Lisa's not a man.
No, and I have been one of those very fortunate people to benefit from it.
Yeah.
And it changed my life. I would 100% say that.
That's so cute you say that.
I know.
She's got a massive grin on her face.
Yeah, it has. Like, when I look back, and we'll bore everyone, but when I look back to where I was, and not just because there was a lot going on, but when I look back to how I was living my life and how I live it now, it's, poles apart. Yeah.
Lovely.
It's cute, isn't it?
Lovely.
Do you know, and I say this a lot, and I openly talk about my mental health and what happened to me and why I'm here now. The lady I saw, the wonderful Jackie, changed my life, without a doubt, you know. She probably, I mean, I've told her that, but she probably hears it and goes, oh, yeah, but no, you really did.
Yeah.
You really did. It's unbelievable, isn't it?
Yeah.
But imagine the 112 people that we've put through, if we changed 12 of those out of that 112. Yeah. That
and
would
I'm
be
sure
amazing.
It's more than that. Yeah. I'm sure, you know.
I mean, we've had people say, you know, you've saved my life by doing what you did, or, you know, you saved my loved one's life by doing what you did. So the thing we're doing is changing lives.
Mm.
Isn't that cool, Harv?
It's amazing.
Like, from oh, we keep talking about the car park.
The car park.
The car park.
The chat in the car park. Joe, the other day I went into
a car park?
No, I went to Starbucks on the A303.
Oh, God, that's where
we had our first sort of like proper meetings about setting up the Brave and Determined, and we just
we'd
shot through ideas.
We'd finish CrossFit, wouldn't we? Jump in the car and drive out to Starbucks on the 303 at Willoughby Hedge and then go, well, what should we do? What should we, you know, how are we going to do this? And I think we probably opened up to each other quite a lot there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And fully gave the story of how we had got to where we were and
why we were there and why we wanted to do something.
Mm. And it just goes to show that sometimes you just got to jump and just do it.
Hell yeah.
You might not have a plan. You might not know how it's going to work out, but just give it a go. Just give
it
a go.
We couldn't get all our ducks in a row before we started the Brave and Determined.
I didn't even have a duck.
No.
You didn't.
You had
a few.
Yeah, but they're all dead.
Would you eat a duck? Do you like duck?
I've never had duck. I don't think I would eat duck.
Not even from a Chinese?
I've tried it when someone goes, do you want to try a bit of my duck's... What's it when you have a
duck
pancake?
Duck pancake.
Oh,
yeah.
Delicious.
Yeah.
The hoisin sauce.
Pecan.
Yeah, huh? No. Peking duck? Yeah, no, I've only sort of had that as a little bit. Oh, I'll try a bit, but I don't really...
For the listeners, he did like a Peking type thing from behind his microphone.
Yeah.
Duck's great.
Yeah, no, it wouldn't be on my list of animals to eat.
Oh, yes.
Would you eat a pigeon?
Not knowingly, no.
I was wondering,
if someone gave me a pie and I ate it,
it was a duck.
And then said, you know... And didn't tell me it was a pigeon, I probably would eat a pigeon.
I've had pigeon and it's very nice.
Yeah.
Right. Let's actually talk about
something men are healthy.
Would you eat a duck stuffed olive?
No, absolutely not.
In a coffee?
No.
Anyway. Right, so, Lise, let's have a little drum roll and we'll go into the topic of the week.
This week we are talking about the cycle of change.
The cycle of change, Lise? What is that?
I don't actually know.
So the reason we're talking about this is our wonderful next door Claire, who is one of the top counsellors in the entire world, in my opinion.
Yep.
And I think you're going to know that.
Yes.
Yeah. I was talking to her the other day because our office... Oh, we haven't even talked about the office. We've moved locations. We're in a completely new location.
Yeah. So now we have.
Yeah. We're not in our old office. We're in a new office, which is half the size of our old office.
Yes.
We've downsized to save money to help more people with early intervention life-saving counselling.
Exactly.
So it's a lot more cosy. Producer David still doesn't have a microphone and he sat on an orange pelly case, which if you don't know what a pelly case is, it's not a comfortable seat, but he's over there and he's doing it. So thank you, PD.
Being in here doing the podcast has given me Andy Peters and Ed the Duck vibes.
It is a bit like the broom cupboard, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
For our younger listeners, you need to Google that. There's no one listening.
Otis Yardvark, he followed.
Oh, yeah, he probably did. Yeah.
Quite Gordon the Gopher.
That's pretty.
Moving on. So, Claire said to me, we were talking whilst our office was next door to hers, and she said about the cycle of change. And she gave me this bit of paper, which Lisa is now holding. And it's a very, very good point for us to talk about because being ready for therapy is not just about being ready. There's a cycle of change that everyone has to go through. And I think there's pivotal moments to push yourself into getting to the point where you're ready for therapy. So, Lise, what would the first step be?
The first step is a pre-contemplation.
So when you're like pre-contemplating
I've got no intention of changing this behaviour. I know I'm probably not in the best headspace, or I'm not acting the way I want to be or behaving the way I want to be, but I'm not actually going to do anything about it.
Yeah. And that's before you even realise, I suppose, there's a problem. You as that person haven't realised there's an issue yet.
No.
Yeah.
So you kind of, this logical standpoint, no intention to change behaviour. The person may be unaware that a problem exists.
There you go. So might be loved ones around are thinking, that's not normal behaviour for you. Friends, relatives might be thinking, something's not quite right, but you as the person haven't
Oblivious.
Even noticed.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then the next step is contemplation, where the person becomes aware there's a problem, but still made no commitment to change.
Okay. So again, it might be, I'm not feeling myself, but I don't need to do anything about
it. Yeah, don't really know why. Don't really want to find out why.
I'm just going to carry on. And, you know, I think the three of us could probably talk openly about this. You know, we've all been in these steps, I think. And that's the bit where I think you're probably thinking, I hate the world. It's everything stacked against me.
Yeah.
And I'm having a bit of a crap time. But I'm all right. It's the world that's at fault.
Do you think when you've had that stage, before you kind of go, I need counselling, you've realised it yourself or has taken someone else? Because I think both times I've had counselling, someone else has prompted me. Like, you guys were one of them when we were in that car. And the other time was a friend, Lindsay, and she said, this is the guy I saw. You might want to just, I'll give him details in case you want to like have a chat with him kind of thing. But I don't know how long it would take me to come to that decision or like realisation myself, or whether you ever get there.
I think for me now, because I've been on that journey, I would like to think that I would be like, yeah, I need to go talk about this. That's how I feel now.
I would
like
agree.
The first time, do you
first
think?
First time, no, absolutely. I needed someone to tell me, this is not okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I spent years fighting that off, you know, saying that whatever I was going through was not mental health related or that I didn't need help. And I mean years, and fighting it in other ways. I think, like Ad said, now, I think I hope I recognise it. There's a little bit of a fear that you don't recognise it.
Yeah, that, I think it's always the point where it's a bit too late, isn't it? Like, it's always a little bit too late.
But I think the vast majority of people that get help or seek help have been told by somebody else. And at some point, hopefully it clicks and they go, actually, yeah, you're right.
Which is a really good point, isn't it? Because if you are worried about someone, but there's always that kind of line of like, do I say to them?
Yeah, it's a difficult
It's a hard line of being like, I think you need some help, or do you want some help?
Yeah.
And like you said, people are often reluctant to go, oh yeah, actually, no, maybe that is the right thing to do. But I think planting that seed in people...
I think planting the seed's key, because they could dismiss it. If I said to you, for example, I think you need help, and you're like, no, I'm fine. But I've said it, and it might be in there somewhere.
Yeah.
And it might just it might turn into something.
And I think the point at which someone who cares about you says that, you know that there's something wrong, don't you? Because you know that you're obviously not being quite yourself, or that they picked up on something. Mm. So it must be bad for other people to notice.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah. And the next step is preparation. The person is intent on taking action to correct the problem.
So that could be, you know, you're starting to reach out, starting to look for some help. Is that right?
Yeah. So,
but not fully committed to actually changing yet.
No, it's increased self, I can say that word, efficacy.
I don't know what that means.
So it means like you know you need to make a change, and you're doing something to make that change. So that would be seeking the help, going to see someone.
Taking steps.
Taking those steps.
Okay.
And then action. The person is active in modification of behaviour.
Okay, so, that's really key, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And can we just go back one? Because I think that would be where you're reaching out to the brave and determined. Yeah. So back one step, that's where you're saying, okay, I need the help and I'm going to reach out.
Yeah.
The next one is, hopefully, you've sat in front of a counsellor, is that right?
Yeah.
And then you're now taking action to change behaviours and recognise where you are.
Because I think the important point is not to just sit in front of a counsellor and talk a bit and listen a bit and talk a bit more and then do nothing, you know, afterwards. It's about
homework, the action, isn't it?
Action isn't just the 50 minutes to an hour you're sat in that room. Action is what is even more important. The action is what follows that, what you do afterwards, what you work on, what you've learned.
And the hard part I found, like when I was going back to see Claire, like she would set me some homework and say, this is what I want you to go away and do. And I would have to come back the following. She'd be like, you don't have to do it, but I want you to do it, kind of thing, or you should want to do it, sort of thing. Because I'm like, oh yeah, I have to be, you know, people please. I'd go off and do it and bring it back. And the hard part for me was sticking to that when I didn't have to tell her. Do you know what I mean? Like, so when my counselling sessions were over, sort of just after Christmas, and I didn't have anyone to report to anymore, the hard part is doing that work and keeping that, putting the work in, isn't it?
Like, I think it's like having a physical injury, having a dodgy knee, being given a course of physio, stuff you have to do yourself, and only doing it when you're in the room with the physio, and then all the other times not doing it, and then wondering why your knee gets bad again.
Yeah.
It's
That's
that
a really good analogy, actually.
It's that maintenance of it.
And I think a lot of people don't think, if they go into see a counsellor, they are just talking things through, don't they? I think that sort of perception of you're just going to talk about your feelings. But there's actually a lot more to it like say, make those changes and put that.
It's a really good point, Harv. And I think that's a perfect analogy because, you know, we say that mental health people can't see it, but if you break your leg, everyone knows you've broken your leg and it's going to take a year to heal. And I think that's such a good analogy. And, you know, sometimes when people go through counselling, it's changing behaviours or changing the way you think or self-care, self-love, being a bit easier on yourself, etc. But it's not just that hour you're sat with a counsellor.
No.
Because you only see that counsellor once a week for an hour. It's the 167 hours that you're not with the counsellor that you've got to work on that.
Mm.
And that, I think, is a key point in the action is, yeah, you've got to go and take your homework and you've got to learn from this and move forward.
And you've got to put it in practice in real life scenarios.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And the hardest thing I found was I'd prep for the next session thinking, we spoke about this last time and I want to talk about this, this and this. And you go in there and be completely derailed in the first 2 minutes. You talk about something completely different.
Yeah.
But what you've done, because of that prep, you've done the work.
Yeah.
You've been working
on
it.
That issue.
And, you know. And that's good counselling, isn't it?
Yeah, amazing.
No, I used to do that a lot. Yeah. I think, oh, yeah, I must say that about
this. Yeah, I need to revisit that and talk about it. And it was almost like...
And then
like,
it never comes up again.
Yeah, there's like, a line under it, move on.
Yeah.
No, it's such an experience. And, you know, we're big advocates of it, but everyone should experience it.
Mm. And the next step is maintenance. Sustained change and new behaviour replaces old.
Well, I think that we've probably touched on that already.
Yeah. So action into maintenance, really.
Yeah.
Is that 167 hours you're not with a counsellor, or even when your sessions are finished, like you were saying, when you had finished, you then got to maintain that, what you've talked about, what you've learned, you know, and try and move it forward. You know, and a lot of it, for me, was about remaining in, like, a positive place and being, this isn't, you know, happiness is not the destination. The journey is the happiness, you know?
Yeah.
And for me, that was trying to redefine who I was as a person and what I stood for.
Yeah. And then the last one of the circle, which then restarts the circle, is the relapse, where you fall back into old patterns of behaviour.
I think that is really, really important as well, because you don't want... You can't go into counselling thinking, once this is done, I'm fixed, and that's it. And, you know, you have to be aware, again, like the knee analogy, that you could do all the right things, but eventually it might come back and cause you grief again or cause you mischief. And that's the same with your mental health. Yeah. It's like, it's not, I'm going to do 6-12 counselling sessions, work on myself for a bit, think I'm on top of it, and it's never going to come back, because it could come back.
Yeah.
And it could come back in a different form. So you have to be aware of that, and then willingness to go through the cycle again.
Yeah. And that is, like you say, and then you get back to the start.
And I think one of the things, Harv, from when you and I first met, one of the things that helped me with our... relationship and us building was when you said to me, the doctor had said to you, you might have this for life.
Oh yeah, this is a key moment.
And I took a lot from that, because I remember walking away from that conversation and thinking, well, maybe I have got this for life.
Yeah.
Because, you know, little did you guys know, at that time when we met, it was probably at one of my worst points, you know, and there was a reason why I was hitting the gym 7 days a week. Yeah, you look back now and go, maybe I wasn't quite healthy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, maybe it was a bit unhealthy to be doing that.
And you said that, and I thought, yeah, maybe I have got this for life. And I think that it's like an old injury. You know, you might do a bit too much, and you know, that knee's been a problem. You've had surgery on it. It's taken you a year to fix it. Things are looking good. You're finally getting out of bed and forgetting about that knee injury. But then you run up the stairs and tweak it slightly, you know, and then you have to remember that you've still got that injury and it's not gone away. And, you know, the analogy into your mental health might be like that.
I remember it really clearly. It was a young doctor. It was a junior doctor in Shaftesbury. And I was in the doctor's office, and I was absolutely in bits. Like, I was just totally, totally broken. And he said to me, the trouble is, you're trying to beat it. You're trying to beat it. You need to learn to manage it.
Yeah.
Or words to that effect.
Yeah.
And that's such a key line.
Mm.
Because you're fighting all the time if you're trying to beat it and get rid of it completely.
And I get points in my life where I totally forget about the journey I've had. And I look at life and think, God, life's great. You know, this is perfect. And then, you know, 2 days later, you get out of bed, and then I'm saying, you know, you have a tough day. And then I'm saying to myself at bedtime, but that's okay. It was just one day.
Yeah.
You know, and I go back to what I learned through therapy, and it's okay to have a bad day. It's okay to think, God, life was a bit shit today. And that's okay. Tomorrow's a new day. Let's start again. That's the reset button that you can do every single day and start again tomorrow. And I have to remind myself of where I've been, and that's okay. You know, that is okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
So one thing I told you, I think I told you about it, Harv. I've never had a panic attack, but oh my God,
tell me,
I did tell you. Oh my God, the other day. I didn't have one, but I was close to having one. Like, and I mean, it was the weirdest feeling I've ever had. Now, I'll explain the situation. It was a bit of an odd place, because I was sat on a, like, kids' school bench. Do you remember the ones we used to have at school? The little wooden benches.
Yeah.
With a breathing apparatus set on for the fire service, in my full fire kit, just about to walk into a container that was about 370 degrees and totally on fire. And I just had... It was the afternoon, and I'd already, like, worn BA once, and it was nice. It was really hot, and you go in there, and I was just sat there, and I had this overwhelming thought of, my God, I cannot breathe. And now I've been in that situation. I've been in the fire service for, like, I don't know if you guys knew that, but for like 8 years now. And so I've done that, you know, pretty much every year I've done a similar sort of training. And so I'm kind of used to it, and maybe I've just took it for granted at that point. But I had, like, I instantly started sweating. I could just feel the tension around, like, my neck.
Mm.
And I was like, oh my God, I can't breathe. and I had this like fleeting thought in my head of get this stuff off now, like literally rip it off and run away. And I thought I can't because I'll fail the test and then, you know, I'll lose my breathing apparatus license and I won't be able to carry on what I'm doing. And I had to take control of myself and talk to myself and go, you've done this before. What's the matter with you? Right. So almost like talking to myself like a third person. It was like I was like, it wasn't like an out of body experience, but like talking to myself from another point of view going, you've done this before. Relax. You're okay. You can breathe. Yeah, okay, it's a bit restricted because you're wearing a BA set, but relax, calm yourself down. And I thought of you, Harv, of like the breathing techniques like you breathe in, like you find a like a rectangle,
Yeah,
and you breathe in.
Box breathing.
And I took myself through that and I calmed myself down. And as soon as I stopped thinking about the situation I was in, because I then had a job to do, I was then right, I've got to go into this this building now that is on fire. It was fine, absolutely fine. But my God, I was like, I've never had one, but I was... I think I was really, really close.
Maybe you can say now you have.
Definitely.
And that was
like
an experience.
Yeah.
An experience. I wouldn't want to.
They're not pleasant.
No.
Well, and but I didn't get to the point of panic.
No.
But I was verging on it.
Yeah.
They're not pleasant, and sometimes they can be totally out of the blue. And that's the bit that I struggled with is there was no rhyme or reason.
But and there was no reason.
Yeah. And I used to have multiple a day.
Wow.
And
you must have been exhausted.
Yeah, I was absolutely shattered. And then you'd feel like you'd been beaten up afterwards. Like, absolutely beaten up. And I used to wake up and then I'd wait for the first one. And I know they would just come like in waves throughout the day.
So I, you know, obviously I'd done that day's training, went home and told my wife about it and sort of said it. And I spoke to you about it and said, my God, you know, this was really tough. And I was shattered for a couple of days after that, you know. And I'm not normally that tired. I mean, it's an arduous day. You're in hot conditions. You know, you're having to prove yourself that you can put a fire out that's fully raging.
Yeah,
it's not a normal situation. We normalize it because we do it all the time. You know, and I was shattered, absolutely shattered. And I don't know whether that was to do with it.
Yeah, it could well be. I mean, I used to find it absolutely exhausting.
So that just goes to show. I'm not fixed by any means.
No, I don't think we are. Yeah. We ever are totally fixed. Mm. I think that's a good point in the cycle there, is that just you've got to be aware and prepared that you might have to go through the process again.
Mm. But what I haven't done is since then, I haven't reached out for any help because I feel like, okay, I obviously need to make some changes. I'm probably working a bit too much, a lot of responsibility.
Yeah, so you've taken things you actually learned in counselling.
And gone, right, I need to back up a bit. I need to do some stuff that makes me happy.
Yeah.
You know, walking in the middle of nowhere makes me happy. So that's what I did. You know, went out for walks, ate some nice food, made sure I got some good sleep, drank some water, ran around a bit, get your energy out, you know, do that sort of thing. So there we go. Yeah. That's the journey. So if anyone is on that journey right now, hopefully this sort of, and maybe at least we should put a little post on Insta so people can look back.
People can see it.
Or maybe we do it when PD...
when we do the podcast.
Releases the pod.
Yeah. We share that at the same time.
This is the really circle of change. Yeah. And so people can reach out and see that. And that'd be a cool thing. So check us out on Instagram.
Yes.
Right.
I'm intrigued.
The what?
Are we moving on from that?
I think
subject?
So. Okay. Are we done?
Yeah, I'm intrigued to know what Lisa's question is.
Oh, do you know, I nearly didn't do one. Because I totally forgot
about that bit.
Ask us anything. Lisa's question.
Lisa
looked after the agenda, so she's obviously got something up her
sleeve. Last time I did a question, I had a question, and we didn't do it. But I did think, it's probably not a very good one, because it's a bit last minute.
Go on.
But when did you last cry, and why?
Wow.
I know that.
Wow.
I can literally tell you.
Oh, okay. Well, you go first, because I need to have a think.
I last cried, I would say, 2 days ago. When I was thinking about Bruce.
Oh, man.
Because we were talking about Bruce. Oh, no, maybe it wasn't Bruce. Oh, man, I cry so much.
It's a daily occurrence.
Yeah, there's been a couple of things. Like, so we obviously lost Bruce in January, and he was just a dog, but my God, he was like my best friend, that dog. And when I think about him, it makes me like... It makes my heart break because I love that dog so much. But then what happened is my son Ollie, his girlfriend Imogen, who we love dearly, she lost her granddad only this week. And then it made I was sad, super sad for her because she lost her granddad, and it's so devastating to lose someone you love like that. And then it made me think about my grandma, and I'm not going to talk about it because I will cry again. Oh. So the answer would be now.
Now.
Okay.
Over to you, Arne.
Well, actually, I've just thought of it. I don't cry as frequently as you.
Oh, I cry a lot.
But I get close to it. But actually, it was at your dining table.
Oh, God, yeah, you really did cry there.
Yeah. And it was probably about maybe a year ago, maybe more. I can't remember exactly.
That's the last time you cried?
Yeah. We were talking.
Wow, I cry. I never used to cry, and now I can't stop.
I cry like every week.
I was telling you about Josh, yeah, and about his challenges in...
His health
when he was tiny, and being in and out of Bristol Children's Hospital and a few surgeries.
And it was
stuff
like
there.
Normal for you at the time because you just got to deal with it
as a dad. Deal with it, yeah. Yeah. And then in hindsight, when it only, yeah, I don't think I cried at the time. And just for the purposes of the record, Josh is absolutely fine now. Mm. And he had great care, and it all went really well. But it was a challenging time at the time. But I didn't realise it at the time. So now when I talk to people about it, and I was just telling you about it because you didn't know me then, and I didn't even know I was going to cry. And I was at a dinner table with your teenage kids.
Yeah,
and I was like, thinking, who the fuck's this guy?
Holy shit, mate, you're right. Yeah, tough, isn't it? But they see me cry all the time, so it's normal.
Yeah, no, they were great.
They're like, oh yeah, Dad's just crying, don't worry about it. He's probably thinking about grandma.
But I do think that was the last time I cried, but that's not to say that I don't get sad. That doesn't mean that. For me, I don't cry that often.
When I talk about my mental health journey, I get pretty upset as well.
Yeah.
Because it was so, and I'm not gonna talk about it. Because I'll just
bottle it up, that's the right thing to do.
Yeah. And I suppose in two ways, because it was so tough to get through, and again, I suppose because I'm proud I got through it. So it makes me upset. What about you, Lace?
Yeah.
I cried in the gym. Not today. It was last Tuesday night, I think.
What, when you saw the Stairmaster?
No, it's because at the moment I'm watching This Is Us. Have you watched that yet?
No.
Oh, my God. It is the most amazing series.
What is it? Is it Netflix?
It's on Amazon Prime or Disney Plus. It's an American series about a family who have got three kids, and it tells the story of their life from their birth up to... I haven't got to the end of it yet, but it's...
Don't ruin it, though, because I'm going to watch
it. No, every episode, it just, like, teaches you a little life lesson, and there's a lot about, like, death, and the mother's now getting dementia and stuff, and I was just... Every time I watch an episode, I cry, nearly, and I was watching one in the gym on the treadmill, and I just, like, something happened in it, and I was like, oh, my God, I'm crying in the gym.
I was watching it on the treadmill,
and I had to do that kind of, like, oh, my God, I can't cry in the gym, but it's one of those things, once it starts for me, and now...
I've wanted to cry at the gym a lot, but that's
reason.
Every time I watch it, I've cried. In the last 6 weeks. I watched it on a Sunday.
I want to watch it.
Oh no, do, because it teaches you little life lessons.
Yeah,
like everyone you watch, you're like, oh God, I wish I'd have thought about that earlier in my life.
Okay, so you're taking things from it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I love shows like that.
It's really good. It took me a little while to get into.
Yeah.
And I started it ages ago, and then I went back to it. And then, I've watched it. It's just amazing.
Cool.
But, it just makes me cry. And I was in the gym. I was like, God, I hope no one can see me. Like, I was just, like, proper, like, only little, like, tears, leaky tears, but not,
can
like...
Can we ask PD?
Yeah,
you'll
PD.
You'll have to lean over, if you want to answer it, you'll have to lean over to a mic, because we get lots of feedback about, get PD a bloody microphone. So, PD, when was the last
or
time you
shout.
Cried?
I don't remember.
Come on, right over, because can you hear yourself?
Yeah, I can just about hear myself in the room.
Okay. Here he comes. It's not a big room. It sounded like he was walking from a long way away. Go on, PD.
He's just coming down the stairs.
I don't exactly remember.
You smell nice.
Thanks very much.
Yeah.
By the way, I'm kneeling.
He's kneeling next to half because there's not enough seats.
Yes.
Something of a proposal situation.
Yes.
I don't actually remember. I don't remember. It was possibly something stupid like watching West Wing. That's
okay.
I watched that with my wife Harry, and it's accompanied us on many of life's journeys. We've been watching it together since we've been together. Basically.
Oh, fantastic!
So that usually causes a reminiscence of some kind. Usually, often about my old man. That's what it's quite often related to. But I couldn't tell you exactly when the last time was, but it was, I'd say it was less than a year, but more than
6 months.
Yeah. More frequently
about
than
nine.
6 months. Okay. Less than a year, okay. If that makes sense.
So would you say you see a dentist more or cry more?
I don't know.
That's a crazy stump.
Yeah.
I'd probably cry more.
Cry more than see a dentist. There you go. Maybe we should. I definitely cry more than I see a dentist.
Me too.
Yeah, me too.
I don't cry often.
Is it? I don't cry. I never used to cry at all. I used to be like very like, if I cry, it's a sign of weakness.
When
I
did it start?
Hated
when did,
crying when did in front start? Of people. Like I just hated that feeling of like people being like, oh, don't get upset. Like my mum used to be a lot like, don't get upset, don't cry. That kind of like.
When did you start crying then?
Probably when my mum got ill.
Yeah,
I think. And like, there'd be nights when I'd just go home and.
Uncontrollable.
Also a lot when I was with my ex because he used to make me quite upset.
You probably heard about him on the podcast.
But yeah, my mum, yeah, I just used to go home and just like sob and be like, there's nothing I can do about this. But it's just,
heartbreaking.
So yeah, that was kind of, but again, like you know, like sometimes like at her funeral, I didn't cry. Or my dad's funeral, I didn't cry. But at other people's funerals now, I cry like I'm at my mum and dad's funeral. Do you know what I mean? It's that kind of like knock-on effect of it. But yeah, I think it was probably that.
Funerals are tough, aren't they? Because you've almost got to like, you're almost, it sounds ridiculous, but you're almost putting on a show, aren't you, for other people. So there's a lot on, it's like your wedding, you know, you almost don't enjoy your wedding
friends,
day.
One of my friends, her mum sadly passed away a couple of weeks ago, and they're only having a funeral for like close family only. And part of me was like, that is such a good way to do it. Because you are, like I say, you feel like you've got to be on, I can't be uncontrollably sobbing, I can't be, you know, I've got to put on a show for these people and keep it together for all these people.
So my wife doesn't want a funeral.
Yeah, so I know somebody else that
she's
said
like,
that.
She doesn't want one, doesn't believe in them. Yeah. She's like, so I said, what? You die on a Tuesday, I'll just go back to work on a Wednesday. You know, like the funeral's about saying goodbye and like the closure, isn't it? And she's like, I don't want one.
Yeah, no, so I've just heard got people like, say that.
I said, really? Well, that's all right, I'll just get over it. Well,
I think it is. I think that's a really important conversation. That's the one thing I would say that I've learned that was one important conversation to have.
On the funeral front, sorry, but I think a lot, and I bet you've had this thought, about the music, about the
like
about,
what songs
about
you have.
The song, about what your funeral song is. Because every now and then something will pop up on my playlist and I think, actually, that's my funeral song.
My dad's got the wrong song.
Break stuff, yeah. But there was Tender, Blur Tender came on the other day and I thought, well, that's quite a nice funeral song.
We watched Somewhere Over the Rainbow at my dad's and they'd played it to check it worked, didn't reset the CD and they played Fields of Barley because that was the next song. Which was still quite an apt song, but he used to, Somewhere Over the Rainbow reminded me, my dad used to sing it to us like as kids. And I was like, oh, that's a really, but it's probably nice now because I can't listen to the song we played at my mum's without crying. There's like some songs I have to be like, skip. Yeah. But yeah, I often think that.
Wow.
Yeah. But yeah, I think it's a really important conversation to have with your loved ones, what they want.
Oh, well, don't want a funeral.
Save a few quid.
You're looking at me though, like
Well, no, because you were like, it's not their choice, but...
Yeah, I kind of...
Oh, I see what you're saying though, PD.
Yeah.
Because it is about the
for
people
my
that
mum,
left
we gave...
Them.
It was a funeral my dad wanted for her, but she would have hated every second of it.
Right. And do you feel...
I feel awful that we didn't give her the funeral she deserved.
Right.
But at the same time, my dad was super poorly. He'd just come out of hospital and it had to be done that way for him. And it was still COVID times and there still wasn't... Yeah. You know, we couldn't... And the way she got ill as well, she lost touch with a lot of people and stuff. But yeah, if you'd have known my mum 20 years ago, 10 years ago, the funeral she deserved, she didn't have. Which is sad, but you know.
Right.
There we go. Let's move on to nicer things.
Let's move on to happier stuff. Huh? Got a rant?
Yeah, happier stuff. Yeah. You want to hear a rant?
Yeah, go on.
I have got a rant, actually. My rant is fitness influencers.
Ooh.
And two parts, really.
Are you talking about those scantily clad females that we see on Instagram? Oh, you showed me. I wouldn't look at that.
I don't know what you were talking about.
Oh, okay.
Scantily clad females and males. And it's the, first of all, it's the number, the volume of them.
Hundreds.
The amount of them.
Hundreds.
I reckon there are now more fitness influencers than there are people to be influenced. And it's the inconsistency of information. And I think the most important message to get out to people is that if you're trying,
if you're
achieving, you're doing something, you're achieving.
Yeah.
I mean, I was watching one the other day, some guy telling me not to eat oats. I was told for years I need to eat oats. Someone telling me not to do hamstring extensions. In another video, someone said you've got to do hamstring extensions. And there's so much inconsistent.
Don't believe everything you see.
You end up doing nothing.
Yeah.
And it's like, and also it's the fact that there's no burden of, people don't have to prove anything. There's no, they don't have to say,
they're doing
and
it
this
for
is
followers
why.
And likes.
Yeah.
A lot
so
of
they
the
come
time.
On and they say some outlandish statement, like, I'm trying to think of one off the top of my head, that like, if you do a pull up,
if you do 17 pull-ups, you might accidentally die or something. And they don't have to back it up.
Because they can only do 16.
The one the other day was, you want to eat this? This is what cavemen eat. But the life expectancy of a caveman is like 25 years. I don't want to eat that. You know what I mean? So, and I just think that, it's not, you can't sense check it.
And then they all jump on the same bandwagon, don't they? I notice a lot of mine, like someone will do a style of post or a type of post about something.
Yeah.
And then before you know it, every other single person you follow who's a fitness person.
I think fundamentally, like you should exercise because it's good for you. Yeah, it makes you feel physically and mentally good. So do what it is that you enjoy that makes you feel good.
That's
if the weight loss is part of it. Mm. Burn more calories than you consume.
That's right.
That is it. But people are overcomplicating it. Most of them are trying to sell another product. I appreciate that.
I was just about to say, it's all marketing. Do you think those F1 drivers are actually drinking Red Bull in those cans?
No, probably not on the diets that they're on.
Exactly. They're lean as hell, aren't they? Yeah. Do you know what I mean? They're not drinking Red Bull, but it's all a marketing thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
And there's so many of them out there.
You know, and it's like, I've said this for years. Whether it's good or bad, I can find the Google answer that will support it.
Yes.
You know, if I want to know the best hoodie to buy, I can find someone saying this is the best hoodie, but I can find the opposite argument of someone saying this is the worst thing. It's 100%.
I mean, I remember, because, you know, the whole Dr. Google thing, where they say don't Google your symptoms because you can end up... And someone said to me, well, if you Google your symptoms, you'll end up with a disease that someone's paid the most to have at the top of the list.
It's true, yeah.
It's so true,
the
isn't
SEO,
it?
Yeah. No, I agree. And I think fitness influencers, are hard to trust and to track. And I think, what is their goal? What does 100,000 followers get them?
Yeah.
And where's
the end goal? Where's the, okay, I completed it.
So going from what you were saying about burn more than you chew, and just, I would say, because it is a sort of landmine-ridden landscape, when you go and watch a YouTube video or something, just know what you want to get out of it.
Mm. Yeah.
So don't listen to the...
I think part of the problem is, and it's self-control on my front, or lack of, is because watching videos on something like Instagram where it knows... It picks up on the algorithm picks up, and then you'll get
loads of it.
And the other, and some of them will be like 25-year-old blokes that are in the gym all the time, and it's not comparable. Or for women, they're definitely not comparable.
And I think as well with that, if you look at a lot of those fitness influencers who are men and women under the age of 25. They ain't got the metabolism that you and I got.
No.
Do you know what I mean? We had that metabolism years ago.
Yeah, 25, I can do what I wanted and not many
went
on.
And I do look at these people and think, I hope you're not basing your whole future on you being an Instagram influencer.
Yeah.
Because you have got a finite life.
Yeah.
Because you're going to get to the point where you want to have kids and you want to climb the corporate ladder, and you can't be in the gym 6 days a week like you used to, because now you've got other stuff to do, like feeding babies and putting food on the table. Yeah. And then the next thing you know, you're 40, you're hairy, and you're a bit fat.
And I think as well, one of the things I always have to remind myself with fitness people that I follow, when they post their workouts, a lot of that is just filmed for content.
Yeah, of course.
They're not doing eight sets of six reps at 85 kilos, or, you know, they're filming a snapshot of it, putting it together as this is my workout, and they're managing to look like they haven't even broken out.
There are some out there that have really good intentions.
Yeah.
And they're the right influences for the right people, but some of them are just out there to gain likes and money.
I have to be careful not to think, oh my God, why can't I do that?
Yeah, you've got to think like that.
Well, they're not doing that. That's why I can't do it, because they're not even doing it. They're just filming one or two reps of it and going, oh, I did this for 10 sets, or I did this for...
Do you know, one of the best videos I saw the other day was this young lad who is a gym kind of guy, and it came up on my Instagram, and he said that he's got a BMW M4, which is a car I would absolutely love. You know, it's an 80 grand car, it's fast, it's nice. And he said, this isn't a flex, but I'm going to tell you how much it costs for me to run a BMW M4 at the age of 23. And he mapped out, and he goes, it's not a flex because I still live with my parents, and his dad's in the background, and he's like, right, the insurance is 100 quid a month. Oh no, it's more than that. I think it was about 300 quid a month for the insurance. It was £100 a month on tyres. It was X amount on this, X amount on that, da-da-da-da-da-da. And he's like, but I live with my dad. That's why I can do it. And it's like, that's if you saw the video before that, which is him driving along, and, you know, he's just come out of the gym and he's looking good and he gets in his M4, you think, Why haven't I got that life? He's 23 and he's driving an M4. Yeah, but he's living with his mum and his dad, you know? Yeah. And his dad's going in the background. It's quite funny. The dad's in the background going, sell the car and move out.
Anyway, so that's my rant, fitness influencers.
Nice. I like it. Lise?
Well, I think mine's more of a moan than a rant.
Oh, love a moan from Lise.
I don't like to moan about the Mona NHS Lisa. Because we love the NHS.
We've done this one before.
Hang on. You missed my...
Mona Lisa. No, I got it. No harm. When people don't react, it doesn't mean they didn't hear the joke.
I see.
Apparently, I'm too young to be referred to have a hearing aid. Now, you guys know how deaf I am.
What?
So I went for a hearing test because I've been losing my hearing. I've been deaf for a long time.
Right.
It's got noticeably worse over the last...
I wouldn't say you're deaf. Your hearing's getting worse.
I've got hearing loss.
I was talking to Lise in the gym the other day and you didn't hear a word I said.
And I have that look on my face and I go...
Did she have the what's going on here look?
No, yeah. I just kind of go, yeah. The best one, we went to Pizza Express a few weeks ago in Bath and go into the restaurant. Restaurants are a bad place for you because there's so much noise. The guy said... something I said, oh, I've got table book, blah blah. He said something to me and I didn't hear what he said. I assumed he said something like, have you eaten with us before, like they do in Nando's. He asked me if I wanted the vegan menu, so I said yes to that question. He came back with the vegan menu and I said to Ryan, I was like, why is he giving me the vegan menu? And he's like, well, you just asked for it because he asked you, do you want the vegan menu?
And I didn't hear it.
I just said yes to the question. And like when we were on holiday, people were asking me stuff in restaurants.
So if you don't know the question, you're just guessing.
That should be your rant. People are giving you shit you ain't asking for.
So I went for a hearing test with Specsavers because they do a free hearing test.
Other hearing tests are available.
Got hearing loss in both ears. My left is worse than my right. Hearing aid from them, £1,500.
Okay.
So I was like, that's a lot of money. I could stretch to it. I don't really want to stretch to it, but I need to do something. So I went to my GP for a referral for an NHS hearing assessment. And because I'm not over 50, I don't get one.
Even though they've said you've got a hearing problem.
I'm like, this is affecting my day-to-day life. Like, I can't... It's affecting me going out, like, sitting in a car.
Your only choice is to go and buy that 50 or not.
It seems like
it
at the moment. I'm going to push for it more because I don't think that's right.
That can't be right.
I feel like if it's affecting me...
But what if you're 7 and you're deaf?
Well, exactly. Like,
you're just going to have to wait for 43 years. Under 18s are probably...
Yeah, like, if it's picked up early. But yeah, I was like, I can't wait for 8 more years.
Yeah, but what if you, like, have got a genetic disorder that means in your early 20s, You lose your hearing, you've got to wait 30 years.
I'm not sure. That was what the
message from our local doctor's surgery.
Yeah,
what's the doctor's name?
No, I'm only joking. my worry is that they didn't say that, but you didn't hear them.
I didn't
properly.
Hear it. No, yeah. They
want a
text.
Oh, now that is a funny joke. Now, that was good. They said, don't worry, Lisa, we'll refer you. And she comes out going, what a bunch of...
So that was my semi-rant. I'm not old enough.
Oh, well, I hope you get that resolved because it must be rubbish not to be able to hear properly.
It's only, what, 8 years to wait?
I don't think Ryan will put up with me for 8 years of that because I'm like, what? What'd you say? Say that again. Like, and the trouble is he'll repeat it and by the time he repeats it, I've heard it and I can guess, I can get what he's saying.
I don't know what the number is, but there are a number of times you can repeat something and then at some point you just get angry.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think it's 3.
It's usually about 3.
I don't bother. Forget it.
It's not important. The house is on fire.
So I need to do something about my hearing, but at the moment I'm stuck between paying £1,500 or waiting 8 years.
Mine's a simple one this week because it's just potholes.
It's just so many.
And I'm not running the council down here because they're doing the best at filling in holes, but the weather we've had has destroyed the roads.
Yeah.
And I managed to pop a tyre that was 6 weeks old.
Did you claim?
So, I did. I was a bit angry at the time because it was a Friday night. It was raining and it was about 10 o'clock at night and I popped the tyre in my car. And my BMW, I love that car, but it doesn't have a spare. And I don't put run flats on it because they're way too expensive. So I put normal tyres on it. So when you get a flat, you've got no spare. That is kind of on me. So went home, managed to get a lift back, went home, got another wheel. Drove back out to the car, changed the wheel, drove home. Was angry and thought, I'm going to get in touch with the council and tell them, and then slept on it and thought, it's just another claim against the council. It's just a pothole. The world keeps turning. There's hungry people in this world who don't have food. Does it really matter that much? But it still, you know, was a bit inconvenient that I popped a pretty much brand new tyre.
Yeah, yeah. There are a lot of potholes. And you're right, it's the weather we've had has been relentless.
And it's what they use to fill them in. When they do a temporary, you know, like you
this
see
sounds
the
like,
little...
This, hang on, Lee, sorry to interrupt. This sounds like one of them don't brace position.
Yeah,
this
sounds like, we've got a conspiracy.
Did you know they use hummus to fill the tarmac?
Right, is that why those signs say hidden dip?
Now that's a good joke as well. We didn't practice that. That was literally off the cuff.
The same ones reappear. So they fill it in and then it just reappears. It becomes a pothole again.
When they fill it in, they don't use a permanent thing.
They
it's
don't
just
use
a temporary
the right
thing.
Kind of
well,
tarmac.
I don't want to disagree with what you're saying, but I disagree with what you're saying. I think it's one of those where there's a hole already, they try and patch up, but the patch is never going to be as good as re-tarmacking it. So yeah, it will come back up.
Mm.
You know, they're just putting a plaster over it, effectively.
Also, talking about the council filling in potholes, we've, in our entrance to our, to our car park at work,
yeah.
The part of the road belongs to the council. The car park belongs to us. There was a massive pothole going across the whole thing. They turned up to do it and they were only going to fill in half of it.
Because the other half's on yours.
Because the other half's ours. And we were like, what's the point? What's the logic in that? And he's like, what's our job? Like, we only touch the...
But again, surely that guy...
I mean, they
like,
did do it in the end.
Yeah,
but
like, this is where... He got out of bed that morning going, I'm just going to go around and piss people off.
Yeah.
Like, wouldn't you get there and go, the tarmac police from the council aren't going to go, well, how much did you use?
Yeah, you used a bit more
You filled in another half of a pot. Just fill it in.
Yeah. But yeah, honestly, we had to, like, go out and ask them to do it. And they were like, wow, technically. It's like,
oh, God. Mate, grow up.
Yeah. It's like, well, what's the point? You might as well not bother, leave it.
And like when you get home and you filled in half a pothole, would you get in bed and think, God, I made a difference
in the
world today?
Yeah, I really wish I'd done that.
You know, like you should get in bed and think, I fixed that pothole today.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Anyway, rant's over. We better wrap this up. We've been about 7 hours.
Wrap it up.
Yeah. Right. Lise, what are you singing?
Oh, I don't know.
There's got to be. Come on. We had a reference already. Oh, no, but you don't know the song.
Oh,
the
you two can one. Sing out for change.
No, I'm not singing out.
No. Is there a song about potholes?
What was it? It's been a while. It's been a while.
You can't, if you don't know it, you can't sing it.
She can't hear herself, so...
Yeah, that's why I'm tone deaf.
I'll tell you what, the charity turned one, didn't it? So it's a happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Not just me.